Hey, what's going on, everybody? I'm Body Pal.
And I'm Gary.
And we're two dudes
passing out ducks.
What? What's going on, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us here tonight at Two Dudes Picking for our new Resellers Late Show at 10 p.m. on Thursday evenings. Go ahead, get a, I don't know, maybe get a small cup of coffee just to stay up a couple of hours longer with us. We got a special guest with us tonight. His name is Wyatt. He's from Rewilded Reselling. Wyatt, how are you doing tonight, my friend?
I am good. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Our pleasure. We're so glad you're able to make it. Gary, how are you doing, buddy? It's been a couple of weeks on our Christmas break.
Yeah, I'm good. Being up late tonight, I'm going to Arkansas tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. If I can't make it to the end of the show, that's why. So, yeah, I got about a 9-hour drive ahead of me after this. So it's all for fun, though. So I'm looking forward to that.
Does that have anything to do with Jeeps?
It does, as a matter of fact. Yeah, we're actually taking the Gladiator overlanding for the first time. Going to pop up the rooftop tent and, you know, light a fire and do some off-roading at their off-road park they have up there at Hot Springs Off-Road Park. So, looking forward to it. Put the Gladiator through its paces and see what I need to buy next.
That's awesome. Why, you got any weird hobbies like that? Wheeling? Anything?
Weird
hobbies? Well, yeah. Retail. I'm just kidding.
Oh, resale. Yeah.
What a weirdo. Yeah.
Yeah. No, resale. No, I can't think of any weird hobbies, but.
Yeah, that's all good.
Nothing like that.
Well, real quick, let me ask you this little lightning question, if you will, okay? To get to know Wyatt a little bit better, we're going to ask him some lightning round questions. And the first one is, with your coffee, creamer or black?
You know what? I actually don't drink coffee.
I knew you were going to say that. I don't know why. Do you drink an energy drink?
Well, I drink something that has caffeine in it. It's kind of more of a health supplement. Mm-hmm. So it has caffeine. I mean, it has as much caffeine in it as like a cup of coffee. And I've drank it every morning for the last like 10 years, but it's more fruity. So it's not coffee at all.
Hmm. It's cold, I assume.
Yeah, it's cold. And yeah,
it's all good. It's all good.
Sweet. Yeah.
All right. Second lightning question I ask every guest on the show, so don't let me down.
All right.
iPhone or Android?
iPhone.
You let me down. No. It's that, just because I've always been a huge Android fan.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know anything really about an Android. Like, no one in my family ever had one, so it almost seems like, in my world, it's like everybody has an iPhone, but then I'm sure to Android people, it's like, why do you have an iPhone? So I don't know.
Nah, it's okay. I know that Android's the black sheep of the whole community. So
yeah.
Gary, I don't know if I even told you this, but my 14-year-old daughter finally talked me into letting her buy an iPhone.
Oh, wow.
And that bing that you heard right there was perfect timing. Yeah, it's like I was straight up Android, no iPhones in my house because I don't know how to support them. I straight up don't know iPhone.
I can just see how this conversation went. Also, you know, she sits you down, she says, "Dad, I need to talk to you about something," and you're like, "Oh, what could it, you know?" Your mind goes 1,000 places. I want an iPhone, and then you're like, "Oh, it's worse than I thought."
Yeah. Don't you want to go on a date with some older guy? I don't
right. Exactly. I mean, yeah. Aren't you getting married or something?
That's a much easier decision. Hey, we got Boris and Natasha wheeling and dealing in the house. I appreciate you dropping
little
by.
Little Rocky
tonight.
And Bullwinkle reference there.
Yeah. Very cool. Hold y'all, everybody. I know there's only a couple of people watching right now, but you stay till at least the 11 o'clock hour. Mm-hmm. We got a nice game on the way for all the viewers to participate in. We're gonna play a game between Gary and Wyatt too, but this big game at the end's for all the viewers. So y'all hang out and hold on. If you got any questions for Wyatt that you want to know about him and his reselling gigs, put that in the chat as well. So Wyatt. Next question. If you were to go on your vacation of your dreams, where would it be?
Vacation of my dreams. I can't think of like a particular country. I think.
What about a location?
Well, I think it would be, I guess for a vacation. Well, I've never been on a cruise, and I really want to go on a cruise.
Oh yeah, those are nice.
So, but my wife's thing with it is like she gets car sick, and so I think she thinks that that's going to happen on the on the cruise ship too. So I don't know. I mean,
it's possible.
I think her dad went on one time, and he kind of experienced that, and so she's afraid that that'll happen to her. But I've never been on a cruise, but I think that sounds like it would be a blast.
So. Oh, Gary, have you ever been on a cruise?
I've been on a few, actually.
Nice.
Yeah, I went on one when I was 18. That was right out of high school. Yep. Went on. It was like my senior trip.
Expert.
Yeah, went on one solo. I went by myself on a cruise once.
What? That's crazy. Why?
The girl I was dating at the time, we were supposed to go on together. And, yeah, you know, it had to happen that way. And she was like, yeah, I'm, you know, going another way. And I was like, okay, cool. Well, I'm still going on the cruise. And I did. Had a blast. It was good times. So
nice. Did you meet somebody new on the cruise?
No, I didn't. I didn't. I will say this, though, that everything on a cruise is it reminds you of why you're single. You know, because they're like, oh, would you like your picture taken coming on board? And I'm like, what for? You know, it's like hanging on my wall, me, you know, just up there by the little wheel of the ship. You know, no, I'm good, dog. Yeah, thanks, though.
I think you would have a good time, Wyatt. I went on one cruise. I was 13 or 14 years old, though, in ninth grade. Yeah. I've been trying to talk my wife into a cruise, too. Man, they did not have a good year for cruises last year, though, did they? I think that several boats pretty much did they end up refunding a bunch of money or just quarantine a couple of 100,000 people in their boats for a couple of months? That's crazy.
Free cruise. Free cruise time.
Free cruise.
That's like overtime in a game you don't care about.
Yeah. But it is. It's a blast. It's pretty much one of those things where it's all inclusive.
Yeah.
You want to eat. There's something to eat any time of day.
Yeah.
From what I remember.
Yeah, it's still true. Yeah,
I think you'd have a blast, man. You need to talk her into it. Pick a destination, somewhere nice and you know, sunny and
tropical,
romantic, maybe.
There you go.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's something she could do. Don't then they make those armbands to help with seasickness and stuff like that?
Yeah,
just give her a pair of those for Christmas, and then take the cruise in June and have her wear her for 4 or 5 or 6 months.
Yeah, pump her full. I really don't think. I don't think that she would get sick. I think it's more of a mental thing just because her dad experienced it. And so, she's acted like, well, you know, I might one day. So I don't think it's like a hard no. It's just
worried what could happen.
Yeah. She's just like, well, if it happens on the second day and we're on that thing for like a week, like, am I going to experience like 5 days of just complete, you know, so that's where she's at with it.
Yeah. That would be a Debbie Downer, man.
Yeah.
Good deal. All right. So what kind of car do you drive? Do you drive a truck, a car, an SUV?
I actually have an SUV. I drive like a Trailblazer, and then we also have a car. So,
and you pack that thing full of goodies every time you go out thrifting?
Oh, you know it. You know it. sometimes the goodies stay in there for a couple of days, you know, after.
Yep. Done that before.
Oh, yeah. Hey, we got Sal in the house. Thanks for coming out, Sal. Appreciate you, buddy.
What's up, Sal? How you doing?
Good supporter of the channel. Actually, I'll let everybody know already that Sal has agreed to be our guest in a couple of weeks, and we might have a surprise to show off. Mm-hmm. I'll just leave that teaser right there.
That's right.
But yeah, thanks for coming out, Sal. Appreciate it so much. I was going to say that, you know, when you fill up that truck, or your SUV or that car, and it's just slap full, you know you've had a good day thrifting.
Yes.
But then you also know you got a buttload of work ahead of you when you get home.
Yeah. I saw your video today, you know, talking about not letting yourself buy anything for a while.
Probation, yeah, man.
I was like, yeah, I might need to go there for
I'd be willing to bet that some of those shirts. So Gary and I, it had to have been April 2019, Gary, because we didn't go to Atlanta in 2020 because of COVID and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think I might still have a couple of shirts in my closet from April 2019 because we picked up so much on that trip.
We did.
My truck and my truck bed had stuff in. Like,
the back, we filled that thing up.
But it was completely full. It's crazy, though. I enjoy it. I enjoy it a lot. So I'm curious, getting into the main part of the conversation here, Wyatt, getting to know you a little bit more. What got you started in reselling? What made you decide, hey, I think I could do this? What got you started?
I was thinking about it, in July of 2019 is when I first kind of got my, you know, first taste of like that there was such a thing as reselling.
Yeah, I'm with you.
My first taste of it was really kind of geared towards like sneakers. And, you know, just a little bit about my background. I was a basketball player my whole life, played college basketball. And so I was around a lot of like sneaker guys that just loved, teammates that just loved going and buying like expensive Jordans and stuff. And so I knew a little bit about sneakers.
Yeah.
When it first started,
hard category to learn.
Oh, about. Man. Yeah. Yeah. It's a whole different ball game, but that was the first thing I started researching. And then pretty much a couple months into that, in probably August or September, maybe, it's kind of funny. I don't want to give too much away because I want to make a video about it at some point, but
okay.
Pretty much, Josh from, you know, Harry Tornado reached out to me about buying something that I had listed on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I really didn't know much about reselling other than like sneakerheads. So I declined his offer. It's kind of funny. but then I ended up clicking on his Facebook, and he had just started doing some YouTube videos. You know, he didn't have but maybe a few subscribers or maybe a couple hundred. I don't know. He didn't have very many at the time. And so I just remember that first video watching him like going through a yard sale and then like picking up just anything, kind of just anything that would sell, and looking it up on the eBay app. And I was like looking at my wife, like, this guy just sells anything, like not just one thing. Like, he'll sell anything as long as there's profit. And that was pretty much the start of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was shoes because you played basketball. That's what really got you interested.
Yeah.
And did you say Facebook Marketplace was your starting place, your starting platform?
I wanted to, at that time there wasn't any shipping options or anything. I don't think. And so, yeah, I was trying to put some stuff locally. And then I think a couple months into it, I was like, I'm going to just try a different way. So I opened up an eBay, and I think I sold a pair of shoes that I had for a few years that belonged to me on eBay. So
good deal. Good deal. So, okay. You just said it, a few pairs that belong to you.
Yeah.
And that's some of our best advice. I hear it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
If you're getting started in resale, you look no further than your own closet.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us have some sort of collection of some type, right? We know something, whether it be shoes, whether it be cigars, because Gary knows cigars. Now that may be a bad example, but it could be, I know phones. I had a lot of old cell phones, and everybody collects something. And to get started, look no further than your own closet. See what you got too much of on your hands that's just sitting around collecting dust, and open that eBay account and list it and see what happens. Yeah. I think that's some really good advice, man. Boris and Natasha say that I hate listing. When I talk about that on my videos, I'm really saying it in order to motivate myself.
Yeah, ditto to that. Yeah, the thrill is in the hunt, not in taking pictures and cleaning clothes and listing and folding it up. Yeah, I'm with you there, Boris and Natasha. Same way. If I could pay somebody to list all my stuff, I would. I'd give them a cut. You know, so... And I can't employ the children because, you know, they're just so inconsistent. Anyway.
I'm trying to employ the children. I told my daughter, I said, for every shirt you take pictures of, I'll give you a dollar. You saw my closet. She can make a lot of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
She just won't do it. Anyway, she's 14. She's a teenager. I love her to death. She's got to get up. Hey, we got a new guest. What's up, Flippy McFlipperson? I love that name. What's up, guys? Say that again.
You guys know Flippy?
No, I don't.
Reputation of YouTube.
I know Flippy.
Not personally.
I know Flippy. He's an awesome guy.
Yeah, I think he's in South Carolina as well.
Yeah, I've seen him. I'll probably see South Carolina.
It's the picking capital of the United States, apparently.
I do know that there are some great golf clubs to be found in South Carolina, because there's
apparently.
I'm amazed by the number of golf clubs those guys find. I'm talking about Carolina Hustler, Bearded Thrift. I love the fact that they find them.
It's crazy.
I just wish that people around me would throw more golf clubs away.
Yeah,
you know, Gary, I don't know if I talked about this before, but I learned that a recycling center here in Columbus puts their golf clubs off to the side by the fence.
Interesting.
And I'm wondering, I'm going to stop by there and ask them questions, because, you know, do they put it off to the side because they know there's value in them and they're going to do something else with them other than, you know, crush them up like they do all the other metal. But I'm going to go ask some questions and see if there's any way I can get a hold of some golf clubs that way.
Well, I know there's a metal recycling place out here, very close to where I live, maybe about 5 minutes up the road. Mm-hmm. And they'll set aside certain things, like truck toolboxes are very popular, and they'll actually sell you the truck toolbox. You know, they'll say, well, you want one of those UWS boxes or whatever for like $40. So I imagine they may, you know, group golf clubs together or something like that. I mean, for them, you know, they pay pennies for them.
Yeah.
So anything you give them is going to be profit, you know, if they're interested in making a deal for them. So
I'm going to drop by there one day and see what's going on with that. Apparently Boris thinks that scrubbing shoes is a blast. Mm-hmm. That's just the best thing in the whole wide world. He's also trying to motivate my daughter to get a new cell phone. I don't appreciate that, you know, but that's okay. But he's right. Take 1,000 photos and get $1,000. Well, it could work. It could work. Flippy's talking about not telling secrets, and I bet he's talking about golf clubs there because he's in South Carolina.
Maybe.
Yeah. Then we got Jeff in the house. Jeff with eBay Addicts, man. Thanks so much for joining us tonight. Hit that like button, he says. Yes. Subscribe if you will as well. In the description, I've listed Wyatt's YouTube channel so that y'all can go visit him as well at Rewilded Reselling. So I wanted to learn more, Wyatt, about what you ventured into once you made it onto eBay. And looking at your videos, it's well past shoes by now.
Yeah.
So what do you have? Is shoes still the one thing you are most interested in that you look for the most, that you're most interested in? Or have you ventured past that and it's something else now?
Yeah, I mean, I've ventured into, I guess, like any reseller, anything that I can make a profit on. There's actually probably easier to answer. Like there's certain categories that I don't mess with. That's easier for me to talk about, like electronics.
Mm-hmm.
They just give me the heebie jeebies. Like I've gotten a couple of like, you know, vintage, like, receivers and good brands. Like I've seen other sellers sell them. I've looked them up. I've even sold a couple of them, but man, I'm not great at testing them. They just make me nervous and I'm not really that comfortable. Testing them
Is that any electronic stuff or just like maybe older CD players, DVD players, VHSs?
Yeah, it's probably mostly like what you're saying, receivers, mm-hmm. DVD players, like stuff like that. I'm not comfortable with them. So, I mean, besides electronics though, I mean, I love shoes. I do love shoes. Probably just because it's kind of like a bread and butter. I just, you know, I don't have to look it up. I usually just can see it and I kind of know what that shoe can flip for.
That's the best when you eventually get to know a category so well, you don't even have to look it up anymore.
Yeah.
You know, that makes the sourcing part that much more fun, especially when you can see it across the store. Oh, homing beacon sighted in, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And then also in South Carolina, we have these Amazon return stores, the liquidation stores. Mm-hmm. And so those are probably half of my business, honestly. And at those stores, it's just anything. I mean, it can be textbooks. I've flipped textbooks that I'm buying for $6 for 75 to 100. And I flipped one for 100 and like 10 bucks.
Yeah, man.
So like textbooks and just anything at those stores. Those stores are just wild, man.
You never honestly know what you're going to find in one of those eBay, Amazon stores.
You don't.
I recently, just this week, I flipped I honestly can't remember what it's called, an electronics book, I think. Like, I honestly don't remember what it was called. It had to do with electronics. It had to do with some type of ways to wire stuff. I'm not an electrician. The book was 7 pounds and very heavy. Yeah. I only spent $7 on it, flipped it for $90.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I want to say hello real quick to Russell. Thanks for joining us tonight, my friend. And I wanted to ask you a question, Wyatt. When you go to these Amazon stores, how long do you spend in there?
So like tomorrow it opens at 9. I'll be there. And there is the waiting in line process. That's vital to me. Like if you're going to do it, you might as well go. It's for me, it's like one day a week that I'm really having to go on a super busy day, because their restock days are the days when there's the line. So so like tomorrow I'll get there at 9, or I'll get there at probably 7:30, 7:45 in the morning. Mm-hmm. It opens at 9. I can usually find all the items that I want to kind of look into a little deeper in like the first like 45 minutes. And then it's usually another like 30 minutes going through each item, kind of scanning it, making sure it's worth something. And then if it's not sealed, then I got to take it up to one of the employees so that they can open the box and help me kind of check it out a little more to make sure everything's in there. Like, you know, it's not broken or empty. Cause you know, sometimes you'll get something. I found an iPad. It was an iPad 2 box one day, and it looked like it was still in not just the box, but it was in like the plastic that goes around the box. And I was like, man, this is awesome. And it was on Black Friday, I think. And I just like stuck in the cart, and I went in to look into it later and realized it was completely empty. Like they had stuffed it with some stuff, so it had a little bit of substance to it, but it wasn't
an iPad. And they shrunk wrapped it too.
Yeah, I know. I was like, what in the world? Like, who went through the trouble to do that?
Oh, but they will. Mm-hmm. I bought a wireless charging phone carrier or mount, I should say, for my car. And it has the automatic arms that open and close with the buttons. So none of that spring-loaded snapping stuff, right? Well, it's starting to show its age. It's been over 2 years. It's not working as it's supposed to. And lo and behold, I was in our Amazon bin store, and I found one in there.
Wow.
In the box, right? Yeah. Uh-huh. So I bought it for, I can't remember. It was probably $7. I really can't remember how much I spent on it. And I brought it home, and I was so excited. I didn't bring it home. In the parking lot, I wanted to trade out my mount. And I opened it up, and it was clearly one that someone had been using for several years with, like, dirt and stuff, like hand nasty
skin like
disease all over it. And I'm like, people – I wouldn't do it personally. I have a moral problem with people who return their old stuff they're replacing to Amazon as if it was they were returning the new stuff that didn't work out for them, right?
Yeah,
so I got fooled on that one, if you will, and big time. And honestly, I did open the box. But when I opened the box, there was thing like the suction cup still had the plastic on the suction cup, and there were parts still in the plastic bags. So that was good enough for me. I didn't dig down to the bottom, which is where the main thing was. So,
yeah.
We got Russell says that he wishes that he had one of those Amazon stores near him. They're I think they're taking off down here in the Southeast really big.
Yeah,
it's almost as if every time you turn around, there's a new one. I've heard of them though, starting to trickle out in the north though too. But I also know that there's a lot of things still closed with COVID going on and whatnot, so not everybody's able to make it out to the place. Russell says he's in Sacramento. I honestly have no idea what it's like in Sacramento. They're under so many different names. I searched Amazon liquidation or liquidation pallets. Mm-hmm. I just searched those type of keywords, and I found several around me within about 50, 60, 70 miles, but I don't want to travel that far every time I want to go to the store. And this store, I didn't even know opened up right beside us, on like, within a mile of my work. So I go there on my lunch break. I don't go, I went there one time when they opened at 9 a.m. and it wasn't worth going at 9 a.m. So I just said, I'll just go on my lunch break.
Yeah.
Do you have to wait in line for an hour and a half, 2 hours, or do they do a ticket system at the door?
We wait in line. Yeah.
They did a ticket system at ours, and you can get a ticket as early as 5 a.m.
Wow. So what do you mean by ticket system? Do you mean like you basically get the ticket, but you don't have to stay there?
That's correct. And wow. When they open the doors at 9 a.m., they'll call tickets and order them handing them out.
Wow. Yep.
And if you miss your ticket call, you don't get in, obviously. Mm-hmm. Right.
See, there's one, the store that I go to the most often, it's really good. And the line, I mean, there's a line, but it's not a huge store. Mm-hmm. And so the line, even when there's a big line, it's not that bad. But yeah. There's another store like on the other side of Columbia, South Carolina. And it's kind of like they do it in waves. So because the line is so big that they can only let in so many people. And if you're not in that first wave, mm-hmm. then, mm-hmm. I mean, even if you're the next person, like they might not let you in until 10:30 or 11. So it's like you could wait all that time and then have to wait another hour and a half. So I don't honestly go there that often, but yeah.
This one's not very big either. I haven't counted the tables, but I would guess there's less than 30.
Oh, wow.
It's not that very big. Gary, it was in that old, I'm sorry, this won't help anybody listening in, but Gary, you remember the Tuesday morning store?
Yeah, I was about to say the Tuesday morning store, wasn't it?
It's a rather small store right in the corner of that shop.
Small store. Yeah.
Well, we got a few people showing up. We got Mr. Joey Bada Bing. Thanks so much for showing up, my friend. Hello, beautiful people, he says.
What's up, Joey?
Got a couple of new names out here. We got Sheldon.
These are some of my friends. Sheldon.
Say that again, Wyatt.
Sheldon is one of my best friends.
Awesome. Excellent. Showing the support for the friendship. I love it, dude. I love it. We also got Walton. Thanks so much, Walton. Checking out a new Amazon liquidation store in Fayetteville, North Carolina on Saturday. Yep. They're popping up. Down here in the Southeast, they're just popping up like weeds, man. Oh, man. Thanks so much, everybody, for coming out. I'm going to go ahead and say it again since we got some new faces in the crowd. We're going to have a good game here after the 11 o'clock hour where all the viewers can participate, and there's going to be one winner. We're going to give away a $10 eBay gift card to that one winner, and I think y'all are going to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, we're talking to Wyatt with Rewilded Reselling, and I just enjoy saying that with where did you come with the name, man? I've got to ask you first the name, okay? And then I want to know about the background you the music you chose for your intro to your videos.
Okay.
All right. Where did you get the name from?
Okay, so the word rewild, if you look it up, it's like, I'm sure there's a few ways you could use it, but one of the ways that I like to associate with is like if you take an animal that's from the wild, I mean, that's from like a zoo or that's been tamed, you know, and you put it back into the wild, but not just into the wild, but back into their, like where they were intended or designed. And that's rewilding an animal. So I guess the original thought was like, well, I'm taking an item that's like from a thrift store on a shelf and I'm putting it into the hands of somebody who could use it, actually, you know, use it. And then the other side of it is also like my own personal journey. Like I feel like, you know, I've worked really good jobs, but I haven't yet done something that like I just absolutely love until now. And so I kind of feel like I personally have been rewilded into doing something that I actually love, and my wife loves me. She loves me doing it and she's having a good time. And so, yeah, I think it's kind of made me come alive personally. And then,
good deal.
That's really cool. Yeah.
That is an awesome story. The reason why I wanted to ask you about, I don't know a whole lot of new music and I don't recognize the song in your intro, but what I did recognize, if I'm not mistaken, it has the word rewild in it, in the lyrics.
Yeah.
And it talked about, I think it talked about either reselling or something with you pushing or thrifting. It said something about thrifting too. So is this somebody else's song I've never heard of before and it was just perfect for your intro or what?
So actually that's a friend of mine. He makes music and he's a really, really good musician, like super talented. He produces his own music too. So not only does he sing and he can play several different instruments, but he also like collaborates the whole, you know, thing together. So he lives in Charleston. But anyways, I've been listening to his music for a while. And he had this one song, that song. And he said in the song, hop up in my spaceship, thrift stores are waiting.
Yeah.
And when I heard that line, I was like, dude, I called him and I was like, dude, I'm about to start a YouTube channel. I was like, I don't know of a reseller yet that has like original music in there. I'm sure there is out there. I don't know one. And I said, dude, would you be okay with me using this song? And he was like, dude, you can use whatever you want. And so he said, I got one better for you. I'll like remix it a little bit and put your name in there and figure it out. And so that's actually a song that he had already made, but he changed a few of the lyrics for me.
That is an awesome story.
And then my best friend's wife is a videographer. And so she actually helped put the video together. So the whole intro was like, I didn't really do anything besides.
you knew some really good people who had some talent.
Yeah, it was really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, well, Adam, really you're learning to play guitar, so I'm expecting.
Come on.
And you already know how to play guitar, right, Garrett?
I dabble. Yeah. It wouldn't sound good. So that is cool. It will be guitar, I can tell you that.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I had held on to my saxophone from high school I'm 40 years old for like 20 years, right? Yeah. And the purpose was because I wanted to give it to my kids, one of my kids, either one of my kids, as an option if they wanted to play it when they were in school. Well, my daughter played clarinet, which is fine with me, piano as well, and my son decided to go into computers and engineering instead of music. That's fine with me too. But now I got a saxophone that's it's got dust on it, 4 inches thick. I need to do something with it. So I took it to a music store down the road from work and I just put it up on the counter and I opened it up and I said, this thing's at least 25 years old. Is there anything? Do you trade? Do you give me some money towards something? I'm looking to get an acoustic guitar. Dude, he said, walk with me over here. He took a look at it for a few seconds. Walk with me over here. He pointed to this wall full of these beautiful beginner starters, acoustic guitars. He said, pick the one you want and we'll make an even trade. And I was like, yes, sir. Nice. I was like, nice. This, I know. Okay. So I know I probably lost some money on the saxophone, right? I could probably have flipped it for $200 on eBay, but I paid nothing for the acoustic. It was doing nothing but collecting dust in the corner of my room. So I'm happy, you know? And as Gary said, I'm going to learn how to pick a few things I go camping.
Write us a theme song. It's like, you know, what the story you just told. Remember that show? It came on, I want to say it was Discovery. Maybe it was the Learning Channel, something like that, where it was the dudes. It was called Barter Kings.
I know that one, man.
You know, and apparently these dudes would trade and trade and trade and trade up to certain things. Like the guy wants like an RV, and so he starts off with like, you know, a bag of flour, and he trades it for something. Yeah. He trades it for something. Yeah. Well, apparently there was a guy that wrote a book, and it was called like it had something to do
something about a paperclip.
Yes. Yeah. A red paperclip or something like that. And he traded the red paper clip for like a few pieces of paper or something like that, or a pencil. And then he traded the pencil for this, and he traded this for and he kept going up and up and up and up and up. And if anybody in the comments knows the name of that book or that story, it's something like that. I heard about it, but that show Barter Kings, it was entertaining at least. Yeah. I wonder how much of it was real, but I know there are people out there that do stuff like that. So it has to be based on some kind of concept.
Yeah, it was cool.
We got a new face in the crowd, new to everybody here, but not new to me. I want to say thanks to my wife for signing in and saying hello tonight. I love you, baby. Paige Jones. And hey, everyone, I hope you're enjoying the show. She's my number one fan, y'all.
That's awesome.
I'm telling you what.
My wife is
logging in and watching Paige.
She is asleep.
She's the first. Yeah, she probably logged on, typed that, logged off, and went to sleep. But I love the support. I truly do. Thanks, babe.
For sure, for sure.
I haven't seen. I haven't seen. You mind if I have? I was gonna say your wife's name, but then I thought he may not want me to do that. But I haven't seen Gary. I haven't seen your wife log on and leave a comment ever before. So
you know, I haven't either, and I'm gonna have to bring that up at her evaluation.
Yeah. Her annual appraisal is coming up soon.
Your evaluation is coming up.
Hilarious, man. I love it.
She comes in the door of the office and be like, well, I heard that.
She's listening right now.
Post it in the comments then.
So Wyatt, let me ask you a question about before reselling. What did you do before reselling? Because you said you did reselling part-time back in 2019 before you became a full-time reseller, which we'll talk about in a second here recently. What did you do before reselling?
Okay, before reselling recently, for 3.5 years, I was actually a trainer at a gym. So
you're more physically fit than either one of the two of us.
Yeah, so I mean, I helped to kind of manage the gym also. So I didn't just train. I trained some like group fitness, and then I was also like doing pretty much admin work, any type of client experience kind of stuff, communicating with clients, and then like I dealt with their accounts and their payment info. So I kind of did everything for a very small, like it's not a chain gym, it's just a single location. So so it was kind of cool because I got to see like what a business is like and what an entrepreneur. I worked very closely with the owner, and so just saw a lot of what business can be like. And so that was a really cool experience.
Okay.
Well, I was going to say, let me pick it back on that real quick. So what did you learn as far as like how to take what you've learned in that job, looking at entrepreneurship and apply it to how you do reselling?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think the main thing I learned from the owner, just watching how an owner in like owning a gym is so much different than selling stuff on eBay. But, but the one thing I did learn was like, you really, really have to love something that much to like be able to kind of fight through some of the hard times and yeah. things, you know. I mean, as a small, local gym in a smaller town, like we're not in the city, we're in a kind of a small town. So yeah, I just saw him go through a lot of ups and downs. And so that was cool. But so I think what I took from that was just, you know, if you're going to do it, you got to like jump in both feet and you got to just do it. Otherwise you're going to, like, as soon as something hard comes along, you're not gonna have anything to stand on, you know? And then also I think, and it's a little bit different with reselling cause you are kind of alone, in the sense of, you know, you're listing, you're selling, you're packing, you're shipping, like it's kind of falls on you. But the support system I think is important because, as an entrepreneur, like you have to have someone in your corner helping you understand and see like maybe the big picture. Cause it's pretty easy to get caught up in this really, really minute details. And so,
yeah. Good answer.
I'm going to ask you a question, but, I want to know where, you know, how did you decide to jump from full-time to part-time when you did later last year? But when you're doing that, Boris has a question I'd like you to answer as well, which is he'd like to hear where you plan to take your business. So if you have a business plan or a goal or something like that, kind of throw that in there as well. But how did you make that decision to jump to full-time, man?
Yeah, so to answer sort of both of those, I made the decision to jump to full-time because I felt like I had done all that I could do at that job where I was a trainer. Like I did for 3.5 years. I mean, I gave everything I could give. You know, I'm the type of person, like I wouldn't do good just showing up to like a office job and just not really much being expected out of me besides like knocking out some tasks. Like I like to work well with people, and I've always been kind of a leader. So, on all the teams that I played on, I was a leader. And so I'm used to like sort of a team, you know. I played team sports my whole life. And so, so I did that with the thought of like, I'm going to help the owner, I'm going to help him kind of accomplish everything he wants to accomplish. Like I could tell when I met him, like he needed that right-hand man. And yeah. So I hopped in both feet, and for 3.5 years, like I did that. Like I was right with him. I said, man, whatever you need, you know, I learned different skills to be able to do more for the gym so that he wasn't having to do everything. But it got to a point also where like, I felt like we had got over that hump, and he honestly needed somebody. I felt like he needed somebody with even more expertise than me. I mean, I was good at learning a lot of stuff to kind of pull some tasks off of him, but I didn't finish college. I didn't go get a degree for like management or business or anything like that. So there was some skills that I felt I didn't have. I didn't do anything for sales. Like it would have been helpful for me to be like a real good salesman mm-hmm. for the gym, but I don't have that background. So I just felt like I wanted to work from home. I knew I wanted to do that because I had a very, very flexible job at the gym. I worked at a gym, but I also had a lot of time at home during the mm-hmm. day. So I knew I wanted to be working from home. And I think the next step at the gym was for me to work at the gym more. Mm-hmm. And I knew at that point, it doesn't quite, and I talked to him about that. I said, it just doesn't quite line up with where I see my future going, which is working from home. We have a 1-year-old now. I don't really want to be away more. Like if anything, I want to be home more. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, it just kind of came to that hard line. I was just like, well, you know, I've done everything I can do. And it was a very smooth transition. Like it was the best transition out of that job I could have ever, you know, dreamed of. And so, yeah, that was good. I have more on that, but yeah, I'll let you kind of, I think that's a good start.
Yeah, that's all good. Mm-hmm. You mentioned you didn't see yourself in a position where you would just do tasks, mm-hmm. 9 to 5, and just do tasks. And
yeah.
That is a good point because I believe that to resell, I think you have to have some sort of self-motivated personality, if you will, where you, I mean, there's one side of the coin where you have no problem taking an order, I'll say, from somebody, whether it be a customer, whether it be a lead, whether it be a supervisor or a manager, and just completing that task as it's set forth in front of you. But yeah. Then you've got the other side of the coin where if you have to know how to do those tasks and prioritize those tasks in order to make your money. And that's the side that the resellers have to be on.
Yeah.
We got Carolina Hustler. His ears must have been burning, buddy.
There
we
were talking
about you earlier.
The golf club, guys, he says.
And I'd like to point out that my wife admits I totally was on to her. She's about to go to sleep on the couch. she does. It is. I'm surprised to see her bedtime's usually around 8:30, 9 o'clock. That she's up this late is a very, very big ordeal for her.
Yeah, just to let me piggyback on Wyatt's response there a second. I keep saying piggyback. I don't know why I'm saying that so much tonight. I've been out of the office for too long.
cliche. We used to go in meetings whenever you heard a cliche.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. We used to cough in the meetings whenever like somebody would say a cliche. So everybody would just start coughing. It was actually pretty funny, and management never caught on to it, which is even better.
That's good.
But I was going to say though, the thing is that when it comes to something like reselling. We've talked about this, Adam, in our car conversations that we've had is that, you know, you can go to work every day and let's say you're paid $50,000 a year. All right. Let's say that it's basically that's what someone's valuing you at, right? Yeah. That's what someone's valuing your labor at. So if you give 100% of your labor and you feel like you've added more than $50,000 worth of value to whatever you're doing, well, you're essentially giving up the extra of whatever that $50,000 is to somebody else. With being self-employed or doing reselling as part of self-employment or whatnot, you are keeping that extra effort. You get out what you put in, right?
Yeah.
And so if you're giving $100,000 worth of effort, you're going to get to keep every penny of the $100,000 that you're putting in for that effort. So you really, it truly is like an introspection moment where you can really see what you are worth, you know, mm-hmm. what your value actually is. And, you know, again, I haven't had the guts to go full time. Maybe one day, who knows, my hand may be forced one day to do it. And if that ever happens, then at least I have a pretty good fallback strategy to go to. But yeah, it's, I think that knowing that your self-worth, is going to pay you back, you know, based on the amount of effort that you put in, I think is important with that.
Yeah.
100% agree. And I don't, I like staying part-time because I enjoy the 9-to-5. I don't have a job where it's task oriented, where it's just do the same thing every day, day in, day out. There's some days I go in, I don't even know what may come my way, to be honest with you. And that's the part that I actually enjoy about my job, is the surprise of the next thing that may come down the pipe. Right.
Yeah.
So part-time reselling is a really, just a really fun, we've said it before, Gary, and I think that I can't remember who said it. It's a good fun time hobby for us to take care of. So that Gary can Gary over there. So the Gary can do his jeeping and wheeling. And if you haven't seen it yet, everybody, Dixie Overland now on YouTube has premiered. That is Gary's new YouTube channel. Go check it out. Yep. And I think there's a difference between motivation as to whether or not you're just doing it for a hobby versus whether you're doing it to pay for your bills, right? It's two completely different layers of motivation.
Yeah.
If I made the jump to full time, I may become I'm so work oriented. I may work 70, 80 hours a week if this was what I did full time. And I don't like that I wouldn't like that about myself. Because I'm also family oriented, and I think it would be more difficult for me personally to draw that line and say, you've worked enough, time to go back to your family. How do you balance work with family since you're self-employed? You make your own schedule. You technically get up whenever you wanted to, go to bed whenever you wanted to. What does your schedule look like, and how do you balance work with family?
Really blessed that my wife also works from home. So we both work from home. We have a 1-year-old daughter. And so, right now I think it's kind of easy. I mean, like she don't have to think about, we haven't had to think about school yet. She does like a little mother's morning out program, but, for the most part, we share the responsibility with her all day. So I wake up like around, 8 in the morning or so usually. And that's pretty much when my daughter wakes up. My wife teaches super early online, as a like kind of a part-time extra money type of thing. So she's usually up. I help kind of get my daughter awake and everything. And then throughout the day, it's very fluid. Like we really just work well with each other, kind of switching off, you know, hey, if she's up right now and my wife needs to take care of a few things for her work, then I can obviously break away from listing and do all that stuff. And then vice versa. So we really share the responsibility. And then I go to bed pretty late. Like I go to bed at usually 12 or 1 every night. And my wife goes to bed like more like 10. So I get these like kind of 2 to 3 hours at night where if like there's something I really want to get done, it's a great time to get it done because, you know, nobody else is awake. So that's what our schedule looks like. And, you know,
you got to make sure you're nice and quiet not to wake up the 1-year-old, right?
Yeah.
You know, once a baby's asleep, you do not want to wake it up.
You don't mess with it. Yeah.
Go into ninja mode. Yeah.
I want to take a quick break and let's run through our hots and our nots before Gary has to depart with us this evening. But that's just getting, you know, we're not quitting anytime soon, guys. We need to go through hots and nots because Gary, he's got to get his beauty sleep, and he's got a long trip coming. All right, so get ready for hot and not. Here we go. Hot. And that's my favorite intro on this entire trip.
Again, we paid top dollar. Nothing but the best here.
Top dollar. That's great.
All right, Wyatt, I'd hate to put you on the spot. I'll let you decline if you wish, but guests usually go first on hot and not.
Sure.
All right. So for everyone in the chat, hot and not is a section where we talk about an item that is hot, a bolo, something to look out for, a brand, an item, a category. It doesn't have to be a specific name. It could be a general category. But this is something we're going to share with you that you should definitely keep your eye out for as you're outsourcing. And then you have your not. Your not is either something that you tried before and it failed, or it used to be a hot, but now it's taking a dump and it's a not, right? So Wyatt, you're first. What is your hot item?
All right. So I've got a hot item for liquidation stores, and then I've got a hot item for thrift stores.
Okay.
So I'll make it pretty quick.
Too hot?
Yes, too hot.
Okay, go ahead.
So if you have liquidation stores in your area, so like these Amazon stores, and they're set up in bins, if you have those, then a hot item you need to look for is supplements. So like protein, and here's why, is because if it's a big 5-pound thing of protein, usually you can see it so easily. Like you walk in the store and it's like, you can look at the top of the bins and it's like, every time I go, I can see it sticking out because they're so big. And they're usually, these protein companies almost always use the color lime green, like it'll be a big lime green bucket of powder. So to me, it's easy. As long as you check the expiration date, it's usually a pretty easy flip. And people who buy supplements, because I worked in the gym, like they get stuck on their supplement and they got to have it. So if you sell it for like a pretty good price and it's a good deal for them, they'll get it all day. So
supplement. That's
it. Yep, supplements. And that can be like pills and pre-workouts, any type of supplements. It's, you know, just look them up and you'll figure that out. So that's my liquidation story. For thrift stores, if you've checked out any of my videos, which I only have like 11 videos on YouTube, but running shoes, obviously, but like sell them on Facebook, not eBay. I made like whole videos about this. I sold shoes on eBay for, you know, the last year and a half, and they'll sell, but they just, at least my experience, well, I'm talking about our basic like Saucony, Brooks, like our basic running shoes, not like Hokas and like the really nice ones, but just your basic running shoes that sell for like $25 to $30. The sell-through rate on Facebook Marketplace is so much faster with shipping. Like I'm talking about shipping them, not meetups and stuff. But I took all my shoes and I cross-listed them on Facebook like a month ago, and it was insane. Like I had it literally in no time, like in a matter of a week or two, I had $800 of like sales on Facebook Marketplace. It was like, I got tipped off by a buddy who was telling me this, and he's like, this is all he does. He doesn't sell anything else because he doesn't know how to sell anything else. All he knows how to sell is shoes. And so he lives in a different area where he can source more shoes. Mm-hmm. So that's why he's able to do that that's his only basically income. But yeah, it works. Like sell them on Facebook Marketplace, take really good pictures. It'll set you apart. Damn. I promise you the sell-through rate will be like way faster. So
I'll look into that. I got booted off of Facebook a long time ago because apparently I have a name that custom police and security like to stop on their way in from Italy or France. But anyway,
we're speaking to an international criminal right now.
I got booted off of Facebook, and so I'll have to look into that again because it's been about 2 years since I last looked into it. But that's actually really good because I put back a lot of shoes that I guess could have done better on Facebook Marketplace shipping, but I can't see any good sell-through rates on eBay comps.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I stopped buying shoes, which was hard for me. I'd see like these brands and that I knew were good brands, and I was like, I got 30 pairs of those just sitting on my shelf. Mm-hmm. And I put them on Facebook, and it was like, pew!
So, good deal. I like all that. Right. Very good. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, Gary, you're up. You can just shoot both your hots.
I've got two hots as well. My first hot is going to be basically it's a category of things. Paintball equipment, paintball guns, paintball markers, whatever they want to call them these days. You know, I've actually just recently gone through some of my personal ones that I had from, God, when I played paintball back in college. I mean, you're talking about 20 years ago, right? And I listed some of my paintball guns on there, and I was amazed how fast they sold and for what the prices were comping at. I mean, in some cases, almost as much as I paid for the gun in the first place when I bought it, which I was just astonished. So anything, you know, some of the paintball equipment, it better be more high-end equipment. If it's sort of the Walmart equipment, it's probably not going to be a thing. But anything, you know, like certain parts, certain paintball gun companies, you know, Tippmann, Spider, I think, what was that other one that used to make the auto cocker? I mean, just, you know, Kingman, any of these like very high-end companies. So if you see paintball guns out there at your thrift stores, pick them up because they will resell. And apparently there's a thing, maybe paintball's making a resurgence right now. Who knows?
Are they easy to test?
I just sell them as is, because here's the thing. A lot back when I used to play paintball, you used to have issues with your O-rings going bad anyway. You know, over time, either when you screw the tank in, you know, it would cut the O-ring, and so you get a leak, or sometimes your O-rings would bust on the inside because they would freeze or they would swell or whatnot. A lot of the times people know these things and they'll just buy replacement O-ring kits anyway. And just replace them on the internals whenever they get them, especially if they know that it's a little bit aged.
Okay. Good deal.
So, yeah.
Val and agrees then, with your paintball.
Yeah. And I love to play paintball. It's just, it kind of died out and you couldn't find anywhere or anybody to go play with. And I guess it's making a resurgence again now that I've got bad knees and I'm out of shape, you know? So
remember those are people buying like huge plots of land and like making these huge paintball courses and stuff.
Yeah.
You saw them everywhere. And then it's like,
it just gone one day. It was on TV and then it just went away. Where'd it go?
It's like cornhole now.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. So, which, by the way, Auburn won the national championship on. Let me just go ahead and put that. War Eagle to the Auburn cornhole team.
You need to write home about.
Yes,
you know?
That's right. But and then my other hot is going to be something that I kind of recently acquired, and it's going to be basically again in a general category. These robotic vacuum cleaners, Roomba, Shark, you know, all these different brands that are out there, their parts, especially, charging docks, replacement brushes, if you can find them in the boxes or anything like that, especially at Amazon, resale stores, you may find these will sell and they'll usually sell very quick. They'll sell for decent money. Some of these parts are very expensive coming from companies like iRobot and all that. So people are looking for discount parts on these things. I bought a Roomba, an iRobot docking station charger thing recently at a thrift store for $2. And I think I sold it for somewhere around $40 within a day. As a matter of fact, within hours. I listed it and within hours it had sold. And I was like, man, I listed it too low. But the comps are going for about what I sold it for. So I wasn't really surprised. But that's kind of the thing. So be on the lookout for anything related to robot vacuum cleaner products.
Good deal. Well, Joey's chomping at the bit here. He's ready to play a game.
I see.
Well, I am. I'm going to take a second and I'm going to just share a hot. Since y'all have shared some hots, I'm going to just hold off on the knot and I'll share one more hot. And then, Joey, we're going to play a game. But this isn't the big game. This is a game between Gary and Wyatt that you can play along in the chat. But we're going to have a bigger game for all the viewers after that. Okay. So, crap. My phone just went dead. Okay. So, my hot is a brand named Sketchy Tank. It's a skateboard brand. Its logo is different. It's the words are written out in sort of like bones, and the picture is like the Grim Reaper skeleton type esque with the hooded figure and stuff like that. I first found Sketchy Tank at the Goodwill bins in one of those canvas workman's jackets. And it just caught my eye because it had the Grim Reaper on the, like where the name tag would go on a patch. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, that's really neat looking. So I looked into it. I at the Goodwill bins, I paid maybe $2, sold it overnight for $45 instantly. Wow. And then I came across a pair of Vans tennis shoes. And Vans I look at just because they're Vans, right? But this one had a really neat several pictures of skeletons drawn on the side of them. And so on the inside around the ankle, it said Sketchy Tank. And so, again, that's the second time this name's come up to me. And so I looked into it. I sold those shoes for $65 plus shipping.
Wow.
So for Vans, that's pretty good, I believe, in comparison to other Vans that I've seen for sale. Yeah. So Sketchy Tank is the brand I would suggest to look out, to be on the lookout for.
You know, now that you mention it, Adam, I looked it up while you were talking about it. And I recognized I was actually a couple of weeks ago, I was in Orlando, just outside of Universal, and there's a tattoo shop there. And I just popped in the tattoo shop, you know, just to kill some time. And I saw some of those shirts there because I recognized the designs. So apparently they're sort of big, you know, not just, I guess, in the skateboarding world, but also in, you know, tattoos and all that stuff. Yeah.
Good deal. So, hey, I want to say hey to Gage, Sippy.
That's my bro.
New name I've seen in the chat. Appreciate you coming out, my friend.
Oh, yeah. He loves Vans.
That's my older brother.
Nice. Love Vans. Nice. Excellent. Yeah. Thanks so much, buddy, for coming out. And, hey, let's go ahead and play this game that I've set up for Wyatt and Gary. And here we All right. The name of the game is Take Two. I have an echo. Is anybody here an echo?
No. Not anymore.
Okay. So the name of the game is Take Two. Wyatt and Gary, get a piece of paper and get a pen. You're going to need it. Or on your computer, just pull up Notepad and type beside it, whatever. I'm going to show you six items that sold recently on eBay. The category is Pokemon. So I really hope that I picked a category you know nothing about, because it's going to make it that much more interesting.
Yeah, you win.
So the category is Pokemon. I'm going to show you six items that are Pokemon related. I'm going to go through them like in Price is Right. And I'm going to talk about the item, show you some pictures, but I've covered up the price that they sold for. At the very end, we're going to let each of you pick two items, and you have to guess their price. And the closest person who gets, adding those two prices together, the person who gets closest to $50 wins this game. All right. Are y'all ready to see item number one?
Yes.
It is Pokemon Red Version for the Nintendo Game Boy. It says that it is authentic, it's tested, and it works. Everybody in the chat, feel free to shout out, or I should say type out some prices to help them out, because they've said they know nothing about Pokemon. So go ahead, and if you want to, feel free to put some prices in the chat to help them out. So that's item number one, Pokemon Red Version Nintendo Game Boy, authentic and tested, and it works. The second item is a Funko Pop. An Eevee Funko Pop from the Wondrous Convention. Item number 577. It says flocked. I do not know what flocked means. I've played Pokemon Go, and I've never heard the word flocked. So if you know Pokemon and you know what that means, maybe that you'll help them out with some prices there. So this is a Funko Pop Eevee from the Wondrous Convention. The next item is a Pikachu Hallmark keepsake Christmas ornament. That makes sense. It's, you know, recent sales. Christmas just came and went. So we have a 2020 Hallmark keepsake Pikachu ornament. Don't forget, be writing down your guesses on a paper or something so that you can refer to it later. The next is a Pokemon Snap Nintendo 64 game cartridge. It's been tested. It says there's pictures. I guess that's of the game. Yeah, there's pictures of the game in play right here. But that's the only picture they showed of the cartridge. So the Pokemon Snap Nintendo 64 game cartridge. The fifth item. It's a Pikachu plush. It doesn't say how tall it is, but if you gauge by that hand that's holding it up, I would guess somewhere about 13, 14 inches. It's the official licensed Pokemon Pikachu plush stuffed doll, and it's authentic and made in the USA. All right. And the very last item is a Pikachu in a Charizard costume. Now, I'd never seen this before. I just thought that was very interesting. You got both Pikachu and Charizard in one item, in one plush. So, everybody in the chat, throw out some numbers to help them out. Give them some ideas. We got, for that last one, the Rewilded Wife, which looks like, Wyatt, you may know who that is.
Yep.
Helping you out with $39 on that last item. We got Sal throwing out $9.99. Sal with $9.99. I think he's talking about the game. And, oh, I want to say hey to Matthew, who's, he first came and joined us in the December giveaway. Thanks for coming back out, Matthew, and joining us for tonight's chat and game. We got Flippy McFlipperson says $23, but I think he was probably talking about one of these plush toys. All right, so y'all ready to see all six items right there? And what you're going to do is I'm going to first let Wyatt choose an item, and I'm going to put his name beside it. And then Gary cannot choose that item. He has to choose a different item. And then the Gary's first choice, I'll put his name beside that. Then Gary gets to choose the second item, and then Wyatt gets to choose his second item. All right, Wyatt, are you ready to make your first decision? Which yes. two items do you think will add up closest to $50?
Pick one. Okay, so I'm going to do the Nintendo 64.
Mm-hmm. Just one item, just the first item.
Right, now. Gotcha. Okay.
All right, so Wyatt has the Nintendo 64 Pokemon Snap game. All right, Gary, what's your first item? You can't pick that one anymore. What's your first item?
I'm going with the Funko Pop.
All right. So Gary's got the Funko Pop. All right, Gary, let's go backwards the other way. What's your second item?
My second item is, well, he actually took mine. I was going to do the snap. So it's a good move. It's a solid move. I'm going to do let's do the Pokemon Red Game Boy.
Okay. Game. So, Gary, you got that. I think that's, Game Boy game.
Mm-hmm.
Wyatt, what's your second item?
I'm going to go with that Hallmark.
The Hallmark.
Yeah.
All right.
I was thinking about that one.
All right. So let's first take a look at the items you did not choose. First, we have the Pikachu plush for $12.99. So that was kind of a low one when you're trying to get to $50. So maybe you dodged a good bullet there. Mm-hmm. But then you got this Pikachu Charizard that's up to $45. I just want to point out, everybody, that Mr. Flippy McFlipperson nailed that price for the Charizard Pikachu plush.
Go, Flippy.
Nice job. All right. And now I want to get the scrolling banner off. It's starting to get on my nerves a little bit. Sorry. All right. So those are the two items that you did not choose. So going in the order of the items you did choose, Wyatt, we'll go with you first since you're our guest. Your first item was the Nintendo 64 game, and its price is $20.
All right.
That's like a nice safe price. You got a $30 gap there. So you've got a lot of room to, I'm going to say make a mistake, but you might just nail it. We'll never know. All right. And then you hit the Hallmark's your other item, right?
Yeah.
All right. So the Hallmark Pikachu ornament is $18.88.
All right.
All right. So together you have a total of $38.88 with a difference of $11.12. All right. Got a little bit of room there for Gary to squeak in, and let's see what happens. All right, Gary, your first choice was the Eevee Funko Pop.
I figure since it was a convention thing,
mm-hmm.
makes it a little bit more rare, you know.
What price do you have it at?
I had it at 30.
30. Okay, let's see. $29.89.
Well, I'll take that. Yep.
Wow, within pennies. About 11 cents difference. Okay. So 2011 is how much room you have left to mm-hmm. hit the $50 mark. Okay. So, and this is an over under. It's just whoever's closest to 50. Your Nintendo Game Boy game is their second choice. And here it is right now. $39.95. Oh. So wow. You have a price so little large, I can't even see it.
I know, right?
Your total is $69.84 for a difference of $19.84.
Ooh.
Wyatt, you are the winner of tonight's Take Two game.
Wow. Congrats. That is awesome.
I feel like I got lucky.
Excellent. I hope everybody enjoyed that game. I sure enjoyed presenting that game to you guys. And Wyatt, The guest takes the lead in 2021 already, Gary.
All right.
I know. It's like, man, it's like maybe 2021 isn't my year.
Oh, man alive. That was good. That was real good. All right. Gary, I know you got to head out, but we still got stuff to talk about with Wyatt and another game to play. So I appreciate you, Gary. Anything, any last words for our chat and our guests?
I was just going to say thanks, everybody, for showing up tonight. I'm sorry I can't stick around to the end. I do have to get some sleep before I drive almost 10 hours tomorrow to go to Arkansas. Hot trip. Yeah, that's okay. That's why Red Bull was invented. you know, it'll be fine. I'm looking forward to it. So, and my wife is really looking forward to it. So, in order to get there safely, I've got to bow out for this.
And you know, I'm looking forward to the video the video coverage you're gonna get for your new YouTube channel on that one.
Yeah,
Dixie Overland, everybody.
I am looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to growing that channel a lot more as well. It's definitely a passion of mine. So it's almost like I'm just recording what I like to do. So for me, it's putting a GoPro on the Jeep and letting the Jeep tell the story. So
that's awesome. Yeah. All right, buddy. Y'all have a safe trip. All right, man.
All right. Thanks. Yeah. And thanks, Wyatt, for joining us. Really do appreciate it. All right. Take care, y'all.
Take it easy. All right, Wyatt. Well, we've got a game set up for all the viewers, and I hope y'all are ready for this. It's a new game. Okay, I thought that this was a game that everybody would have recognized, so let me describe it for the chat real quick. Now, this is a game that everybody gets to participate in the chat. First off, I got to show the neat video I created for the intro, so here we go. I didn't spend all that working time creating a 4-second intro video to not show it off.
That's right.
All right. So in the comments, I would like to know, have you heard of the game Seen It? The DVD game Seen It? And I think they've been out for at least 30 years, maybe. They had to have started in the 90s. Oh my God, what am I talking about? In the 90s. And basically, it's a game you play with your TV, and you put a DVD into it, and they'll ask you trivia questions about the movies of a certain time period or TV shows. Well, I've created a short game called Resellers Seen It. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to show the crowd a few 20 to 30 second clips. And you need to pay attention to these clips because I'm going to ask a trivia question about that clip that you just saw. And these are videos from either Wyatt's YouTube channel or our YouTube channel. And when I say pay attention, I don't mean to just the words that Wyatt is speaking out of his mouth. Look at the pictures. Look around the screen. Look at everything because there's no telling what this question may be. Man. About. Okay. Everybody in the chat, get ready because the way this is going to work is I'm going to play the quick scene. I'm going to then put a trivia question on the screen for you to answer. The first person in the chat to get the answer right based on my StreamYard comments list, I should say, because I know everybody's chat scrolls at a different pace based on your internet and things like that. So, Wyatt, you can see the comments on your side in StreamYard, right? Yeah. Okay, so you're going to help me pick the person that we agree is whoever's first with the right answer, okay?
Okay.
All right. Do you have access to the private chat on the right-hand side? I can put the answers to the private chat over there so that you can see it, okay?
Yeah.
So, are y'all ready? Let's go ahead. The first person in the comments who gives the right answer gets put in the drawing for the grand prize of a $10 eBay gift card. There's going to be three total people and three questions that go into that drawing. Okay, here we go. Enough explaining. Let's show the game. Here is the first clip.
This vintage George Strait t-shirt. It was $1.50 when I picked it up at, I think, a Goodwill, and I sold it for $20 free shipping. Next was this NCLEARN Q&A textbook thing. I picked this up at Dream Deals for $6 and it sold for $22 free shipping.
All right. That is the clip. That is the clip. I hope you paid close attention because that's all you get of that 20-second clip. And here is the first question. Per Wyatt's description, what color was the George Strait t-shirt?
Woo-hoo-hoo.
Per Wyatt's description, what color was the George Strait t-shirt? This is when it gets good. Because yeah. There's going to be people who maybe noticed it immediately or second guessing themselves. There's going to be people who are probably rewinding our chat right now, our video right now to watch your video. What, per Wyatt's description, what color was the George Strait t-shirt? Who was the first person
get all those different answers.
To answer this question?
That's great.
Yes, we have the answers rolling in. Do you see the questions? Yeah. I think I might see the first answer. Hold on. You know the answer probably, but I'm going to tell you what answer I was looking for. And I'll accept one of two answers. In the private chat, I just told you what the answers I was looking for. And I think I see somebody with the right answer. Before I say their name, I want to scroll up and double check.
Yeah, the first.
I think I see Flippy McFlipperson, the first person on our end with the right answer. Is that what you see, Wyatt?
Yep.
Excellent. Most excellent. Job, Flippy. All right, Flippy. You get to put your – we are going to put your name in the first spot for our drawing. So let me find it real quick right here. I'm going to put Flippy McFlipperson. Spelled his name wrong. No, Flipperson. All right. You are number one in our drawing. All right. Now, Flippy, you don't get to put your name in again, but your name is in the drawing already. You can answer, but if you get the right answer, we're going to skip past you and get to the next person who got the right answer. Okay. Thank you for playing. Okay. Here we go with the next video. It's one of ours. Get ready.
I picked this up at an estate sale back in November, and I picked like four Bibles up, but they didn't charge me anything for the Bibles, which, I mean, I've sold one of them already. You know, you buy Bibles at stores. I don't know why the estate sale wouldn't sell me this Bible. They just gave me this Bible, but I had no problem selling this Bible. I'll tell you that right now.
All right. There's the clip. All right. It was all about Bibles. And here is the second question. How many Bibles did Baldy Powell pick up at the estate sale? How many Bibles did Baldy Powell pick up at the estate sale? Why, I just sent the answer to you in the private chat so you can help me find the right answer and whoever's first.
Got it.
How many Bibles did Baldy Powell pick up at the estate sale? This could have been easy. Oh, man. Right away. Do you see that?
Yep.
Right away. Where did it go? Boris and Natasha, Whelan and Dylan. Oh, we got four. We got five. We got a dollar sign because I think they meant to hit a four. But Boris and Natasha was first to answer the correct answer of four.
Nice.
Excellent, excellent. So let me put your name. I'm just going to put Boris and Natasha, not the whole thing, because there's a lot more to it, Whelan and Dylan. We'll just put Boris and Natasha. All right, your name number two in our random name generator picker slash winner hat. All right, everybody, let's get ready for the third one. All right, looks like another Wyatt clip. This one, let me get his off real quick. Sorry. I'm going to go ahead and tell you right off the bat, guys, this one's going to be hard. I'm not going to make it easy on you. Here we go.
We just hit the first Goodwill that we went to, and we scored pretty big. So first I'm going to let you see what he got. He scored on some t-shirts here. This is really cool.
never, you never have enough guitars.
Amen.
He's a musician, so he loves that kind of stuff. Show him the other one. The other one says Lord of the Strings. Super cool t-shirts there. And the t-shirts were two for a dollar. And then
that's it. That's it. That's Ooh. Your clip. That's your clip. All right. I'm putting the answer into the private chat for you, sir. Question is, oh, that's the second question. The question is, how many guitars Man. Were on the first t-shirt that Wyatt's father-in-law held up? How many guitars were on the first t-shirt that Wyatt's father-in-law held up? That was your father-in-law, right? I did catch
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and he's in the chat right now. Walton Acock, that's who that is.
Oh, okay. Well, Walton, you made a debut in our game. Maybe awesome. He knows the answer. I don't know. He may not know the answer. Shirt. He may not have counted the guitars.
Maybe not. It's on the back, so if he wears it, he might not be able to even see it.
How many guitars
oh.
were on the first? What, do we have an answer already?
I see some answers.
All right. They just started flying in, didn't they?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're looking for the right answer. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Let me hide this real quick. Go back. Okay, so it is. It's happening. Look at there. Is that who you see is the first answer? Mr. Walton Acock, whom I believe you just outed as your father-in-law, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'll allow it. I'll allow I mean, it. He didn't know what question was coming.
No.
Right?
He did not.
He had no idea what question was coming down the pipe. All right. That's excellent. All right. Here, let me we're going to put Walton Acock. And you are the third person for our drawing. Well, we have Flippy McFlipperson. Thank you, everybody. We got, that was a hard one, guys. We got 10, we got 12, we got 9. Never have too much guitars. 11. Wow, my chat is super slow. Everybody, for games like this, you got to pretty much take your YouTube down to like 144 instead of the 1080p so that your chat keeps up with the flow of the internet.
That's true.
All right. So we have our three winners. It is Flippy McFlipperson, Boris and Natasha, and Walton Acock. And I've gone to the commentpicker.com, which also lets you choose the names we've typed here into the box. And we scroll down here. You ready, Wyatt? You ready to see who wins
yes.
the $10 gift card? Let's go. Here we go. It could be anybody. This thing takes its pretty little time. You got three to choose from. And the winner is Mr. Flippy McFlipperson. Oh, way to go, Woo! Flippy. The winner of our $10 eBay gift card for tonight on our first game of Resellers Seen It is Mr. Flippy McFlipperson.
Good job, Flippy.
Good job. Okay, Flippy, if you could, please email me at twodudespicking@gmail.com and we'll work out the details to get you that eBay gift card, all right? That's twodudespicking@gmail.com. So Matt was saying his chat was slow. Got some congratulations going on. Walton, I just pulled the shirt out of the closet to check it again. You run the risk of not being the first one, but I, like I said, I bet you people probably double tap their YouTube screen two or three times to rewind it so that they could count it themselves. But hey, I wanted to make it hard. I didn't want to make it too easy. Like the four Bibles. I think that one was a little bit too easy. But anyway. Excellent, excellent, excellent. I hope you liked that game. Let me know how you enjoyed that game. Wyatt, so what have you got planned for 2021 as far as your eBay store is concerned?
My eBay store. So I'm at a point where I like the number of listings I have. I'm right at like around 500 is kind of what I've been keeping as my active listings on eBay. Mm-hmm. I would like to build that, but I'm funny about like, if I'm going to build it, then that's going to be my sole focus for like a minute. Like yeah. I'm going to build it. So for the meantime, I'm maintaining that while I'm really getting my bearings with YouTube. Mm-hmm. I'm really wanting to grow my YouTube channel this year. So I'd love to get to a point where I'm able to put out like at least 2 to 3 videos a week and then maintain that kind of like 500 active listings. I just realized with my business model and the type of items that I'm sourcing, if I can maintain that kind of 500 active listings, it's enough money for like the reselling part. And then it also gives me also enough time to like focus on some YouTube content. So
yeah. I gotta ask, you're in South Carolina. It's a little bit north of me, and mm-hmm. it's getting cold right now in Columbus, Georgia, to the point where, you know, even 39 degrees is cold for me. I enjoy my garage. I enjoy parking to escape the cold and not have frosted windows. I gotta ask, How does Miss Rewilded enjoy the fact that you've taken over the garage?
Oh man, Jenna, you might need to comment below. She's fully supportive of it right now. I guess I should have said that. The eventual goal would be to get a big shed and take mm-hmm. my whole reselling business into a big shed. But we're definitely a ways off from doing that. We've only been in our house for about 3 months and, you know, we'll be in this house for a long time. So, we're okay with kind of waiting, but at the same time, I know that the shed thing is in my future. So for now, I mean, the garage is a lot better than taking over like a bedroom, because in our old house, it was like, yeah. So for us, that was because we have a daughter, but I'm sure we're gonna have more kids. And so mm-hmm. it's like, we have to keep all the bedrooms in the house open for that. So yeah, we're definitely, it is. Now we do want to get the garage to a point where we can at least park one car in there.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll,
and that's going to be hers, I'm sure.
And that'll be hers. And so that'll take a little work, but yeah, right now, as long as I keep it organized and we continue to work on the, you know, some good inventory system and things, and she's totally fine with it. But yeah.
Cool. Good deal. Good deal. Looks like you're going to have some help when you get that shed. He said he'll bring over the hammer.
Yeah.
I'm sure you will when it comes down to it, but have you done any thoughts between weighing out the pros and cons between shed versus storage unit?
So the interesting thing about a storage, it's just where I live. It's like I don't know where to find one like that's mm-hmm. close, a storage unit. So yeah. That's really where it's at for me, is it's like if I lived in a city where there was a storage unit right down the road, it'd be one thing. But for me to do a storage unit, I think it would inconvenience our life a little bit more than it would help. So I think we really want to do a
huge con on that storage unit. Yeah.
We have a pretty, pretty good sized backyard. So mm-hmm. like to do a big shed at some point, I think we both envisioned that, me and my wife. And so, we're totally fine with that. I mean, we have enough space in the backyard to do that. So, yeah. And I don't really want to have to leave, like just personally, I don't want to have to leave my house to go do it. I'd rather be able to just be here. And, that's for us, the whole transition of full-time has been being able to be home as much as possible. So, I don't personally want to have to leave to go to a storage unit, but you know, yeah. I know it works for people. So,
yeah, I totally understand. I've got I live in a community, and tell me if this is an issue you might run into, but I live in a community where supposedly they've got covenants that I have to follow. And if I were to have a shed, it has to match the house, the siding, the paint, the roofing and stuff like that. Now there's several people in my community that don't really abide by those rules.
Yeah.
And it's a small community, maybe 25 houses. So I really don't know if I'd get in trouble for it or not, but storage shed versus storage unit is a big decision I may make in the future once I outgrow the bedroom.
Yeah.
Because I actually pass right by on my way in and out of work every day. I pass by a storage unit. So that may be the most ideal, because I pass it going to work. I pass it coming home from work.
Yeah.
maybe just because it's right there and it's on my route I take every day. Yeah. Maybe that might be something in my future. You never know. I'm really going to step up my game. I mean, you saw the you said you saw the sourcing probation video I let out earlier today, and my plan is it's part time, so this number may be small for a lot of full time resellers, but gross, I'm looking to hit about 50,000 this year.
Yeah,
and that's really stepping it up for me. That's double what I did in 2020.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So you know what? I'm one of those who believes in, what is it they say? Aim for the moon. If you miss, you'll land among the stars, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, if I hit 25 again, I'll be happy. But I got a lot. I got a truck I want to pay off. I want to put some aside to remodel my master bathroom. And
yeah,
I just got bigger goals this year than just buying a new TV. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So
it's cool.
What is your number one 2021 goal? Did you make a video about it? I'm sorry, I didn't see it. If you did,
no. Number
one 2021 goal.
I didn't. I'm not a huge goals person. I know that sounds funny. I probably am. I just don't say them out loud as much. Like I probably do. I guess internally, I probably have things I'm aiming for, but I guess I like to tell people I'm not a goals person. That's probably a lie. But no, honestly, I think it's just to be really consistent with YouTube. I mean, I love just being on. I love what Harry Tornado does. Like I'm pretty good friends with Josh, and so like I spent some time with him. He's really helped me. And so I love like when he and I get together and we talk, it's like, God, this dude's speaking my language. Like that's how I've always felt around him. Mm-hmm. And we've only known each other for like a year and probably hung out, you know, less than 10 times. So it's not like, you know, but it's enough to where I just like the pace that he lives at. You know, he always talks about like he's full time. He makes a lot of YouTube, but at the same time, it's like he's not living at anyone else's pace. And so that's where me and my wife are at with our family. It's like, I want to get to a point where I can make as many YouTube videos as I want. I can source as much as I want but we have a good base kind of income. So I am still like getting my bearings with just the reselling part. Like I feel like I've learned a ton in a year and a half, and like I'm selling stuff every day. I'm at that point where it's like, okay, I'm like every day I've got orders, and like that's been amazing. And then, you know, now I'm sourcing different types of items and learning new categories, and that's been amazing. But YouTube is something I really, really want to like build and you know, whatever that looks like. I love doing it, and so I know that if I love doing it, and it's like something that usually my wife is my best kind of meter for that kind of stuff. Like if she likes me doing that, then I know usually like, okay, this is a good idea to focus on this. So yeah, that's where I'm at. It's like, I feel like I've learned how to resell. Of course you don't ever arrive. Like you learn how to get better at reselling, but I know how to do it. But YouTube is like a complete challenge. Like it's very, for me, it's been super challenging. Like I'm used to being a leader. I'm used to being on team sports. I was usually like a go-to option, you know, so I'm used to being kind of good at what I've done.
Right.
YouTube is like being a completely new, like you're a rookie. I mean, it just, every time I do it, I'm like, gosh, man, like, you know, I don't know, I'm having to learn this for reals. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. So that's been like a good challenge for me. So,
yeah. Well, she said, as long as the inventory isn't in the house, she's happy.
That's right.
All right, so that's your goal for 2021.
Yeah, just
don't bring it into the house.
Yeah.
My pastor has been known to say that in order to get better at something your heart desires, you need to find someone who already does it well.
Yes.
And I think that you having a friendship with someone like Josh, you probably have found someone who clearly does it well, and you can learn from him. And and that's in any part of your life that you want to succeed in. Find if you want to succeed in something particular, find someone who does it well that you can trust, that and learn from them. Ask them questions and never stop.
It's been cool with Josh too, because it's not just what types of items to, you know, it's like we don't really talk about that as much. It's been the pace of life that he lives at that's attractive to me. Like he's he's just found a certain rhythm that I really agree with, you know, and it kind of fits with where we're at. And so, yeah, so I agree totally.
Excellent. Well, we're going to wrap it up for this evening, Wyatt. I sincerely appreciate you joining us for this episode, first episode of the Resellers Late Show. I hope that it wasn't too late for everybody in the chat. You seem to enjoy it and enjoy the games. I appreciate y'all coming out tonight. If you haven't already, please go down to the description below, find Wyatt's link to his YouTube channel, click on it, and then click that subscribe button. And that'll help us all out. All right. In the end, that's what we're trying to do. Resellers helping resellers. So thanks again for joining us tonight, Wyatt, and everybody in the chat. Wyatt, one last thing you want to leave for the viewers, one last piece of advice you've learned when you started full-time reselling. What is it?
Okay. So I think someone in the chat, like towards the beginning, said something about like, what would you suggest for taking that step to go full-time? Mm-hmm. I would highly suggest, if it's possible, like find somehow to build your listings before you go full time. Like, even if you have to put in a little bit of extra work, like I just know, like I went from part time, in like March of 2020, I was like starting to think about going full time, and I had like 250 active listings. And you know, the numbers don't really matter because it can be different for different business models. But for me, it was like I had 250. I knew I needed to get to about 4 to 450 before it was like I was having consistent sales like I wanted.
Right.
So I had, but I knew I had about a 6 month transition out of that job.
Yeah.
As a trainer. So I really used that time to like build slowly so that once I went full time, it wasn't a complete surprise income wise, you know, because that would have been hard. And not everyone has that luxury. Like some people get fired or they get laid off or whatever. But for me, if you do have the heads up and you know you're about to make this transition, like, you know, build it slowly, kind of make a plan for that. And then also, I didn't do this, but it would be great if you had an inventory system before you got 500 items. Like if I just am really honestly getting my head wrapped around inventory. Mm-hmm. Like, if you wait, it just gets harder. And then when you finally make that leap, it's like, oh gosh, you know, you have this huge project in front of you and all these items and now you got to move them. And so, yeah, I think it would be like make a legit inventory system and, and as much as, you know, whatever, if you can, like build your active listings like up and it at the right pace so that once you go full time, it's not a complete like, holy smokes, like, I'm not having daily sales. I'm not having money constantly coming in. I'm like, I've had 3 days and I haven't made any money. Like that, you know, that would have been really
freak out.
Yeah, you would freak out. It's not part time anymore. Like it's full time. So
yeah. Well, good deal. Build up that eBay store if you have the opportunity to before you make the jump. Inventory system. Plan it ahead.
Yeah, I'm talking to myself.
I hear you. All right. Great advice, Wyatt. Thanks again so much for joining us tonight and in the chat. Don't forget to hit that subscribe. Y'all stay safe out there, please, and have fun picking. Y'all come on back next week when we have Sal's Dispensers is how I'm going to say it. Sal's Dispenser, but he's Sal's Mercado here on YouTube. He's going to join us on January 28th. Cool. All right. Y'all have a good night, everybody.
See you guys.